Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
With the authority, he does that. Chris Rutkowski should become an announcer.
I should, one of these days.
Yeah, before you were 300 years old.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's talking with Randall about the various classifications and UFO cases. Now, the thing that we should mention here, if we're going to kind of look through UFO sightings in the latest batch before we get to, you know, what's going on with the U.S. and the Pentagon, all that. Aren't we seeing today the sightings that you report, that you collect? Any major differences between the sightings that NICAP was going after in the 50s, APRO in the 60s and 70s, et cetera, et cetera? Or is it all pretty much the same thing with minor variations because of differences in eyewitness testimony?
Oh, no, we're definitely seeing some major changes. In fact, I was speaking with Ted Phillips at a conference a number of years ago. You know, we had remarked that for almost completely, trace cases had vanished from the face of ufology. Close encounters of the second kind, where a UFO lands and takes off and there's these rings or burns or holes or whatever left behind, those cases are almost completely absent from ufology now. Even the simple close encounters of the third kind, and I may say simple, I mean where something is seen to come down and a door opens and somebody gets out, gray, green, or whatever, gets back in. You know, those close encounters of the third kind, and even the types of things depicted in the movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where creatures come out and shake Hynek's hand and grab his pipe and go back inside, those cases are almost gone. What we have are much more experiential cases. The abductions, the contactee cases, which have gone through a tremendous resurgence. But the hardcore nuts and bolts are almost completely gone from ufology now. And that's quite significant. And even in the course of 30 years of the Canadian UFO survey, there were shifts. I mean, we shifted away completely from discs to triangles to, I guess, for lack of any better term, amorphous blobs of light that are more often seen more than anything else now. So we've seen these shifts in types. We've seen some consistencies. We've seen other characteristics. And in fact, one of my projects right now, I'm going back through the National Archives of Canada files, going through all the cases in there. And I'm going through literally year by year, so 100 or so cases per year. And after about 10 or 15 years, there's some changes in characteristics of those cases, too. Some years have almost no close encounter cases. Some are chock full. There are some cases that involve pilots seeing things fly circles around their planes. In some years, you don't find those at all. So there are shifts in the types of UFOs that we're receiving or we're being reported, and we're getting in the data over the course of the years. So I'd have to say that ufology is not static. It's not completely inert. There are many shifts, and maybe it has something to do with the personalities involved. Maybe it has to do with the period of time that we're in right now, because we do know that there are certainly relationships between people's belief systems and their own personal situations and so on and so forth. So it's not surprising that the UFOs that people are reporting are different in some way.
Are you suggesting here they mirror our expectations and culture? Because that gets into that particular
valet
avenue.
The Kiel view and valet, certainly. I think there's certainly some of that. At one point, we attributed the increase in cases to nuclear war jitters during the Cold War. You know, that was the effect. And as we approached the millennium in 1998-99, we also saw some interesting effects by increases in cases as well, and people being very concerned about the state of our world and our planet. So there certainly is an effect. Now, whether, you know, the UFOs are sensing, as you know, some people are saying right now, are sensing our angst and appearing and mimicking our inner fears and desires, you know, that's something that, you know, needs further study. I don't think we can nail it down as simple as all that. But there's no question that the way that we're seeing the UFOs is certainly changing from the standpoint of the percipients.
That's a suggestion here that we are somehow co-creating the phenomenon that appears before us.
Sure, and I guess the best example is orbs. You know, going back to the historical records, orb as a term about UFOs is completely absent. Going back even just a matter of 20, 25 years or so. And then it was latched onto by, there actually was a group called Orb Watch on the shore of Lake Ontario, where people would literally camp out and see dozens of UFOs every night. And then it's been resurgence through Stephen Greer and, you know, and a lot of other people calling them orbs. And what happens is that now we'll get a report from somebody of a light seen in the sky, and the description of the object is that of orb, so the word orb. And that word is new to ufology in terms of, you know, a matter of decades. Most witnesses, if you look back to the historical cases, describe them as lights or round or circular or something like that. But the term orb is really new, and right now, if you, you know, look anywhere in ufology, orb is very, very popular. And it's very misleading because if somebody's seeing a light, you know, calling an orb sort of means already that it's a sphere of some sort. And that's not necessarily the case. So it predisposes an image or some sort of form onto something that clearly is not there. But it's something that's very, very common. And, of course, we know from photographs, people are taking photographs constantly and sending them into us that in some cases are lens reflections, and in some cases are clearly dust, you know, reflected in the flash and so forth. In fact, there's, you know, many, many web pages, Twitter feeds, Facebook pages, and groups devoted to orbs, where people see faces and creatures within the out of focus images that are being reported. And it's, you know, they're clearly reading in what they want to see in a lot of the objects. So, I mean, even in Sedona, one of the people I work with up here in Canada used to be a journalist in Sedona, Arizona, now lives up here in Canada. And, you know, she would often go and investigate things and hang out with some of the people regularly seeing the UFOs down in Sedona, Arizona. And she said, you know, what they were seeing were, you know, in the photographs does not match at all what people really were seeing. And in some cases, there was nothing there at all. So, I mean, it really is a perceptual humanistic experience that is a part of the ufology meme right now.
Does this mean that it works against the meme that we're being visited by beings from other planets? Because if that's the case, why would they take upon activities that meet with our expectations?
You know, and that's an interesting question, and possibly ironic too, because one would think that this would eliminate the nuts and bolts aspect of ufology, but it's actually enhancing it, because now if we're talking about omnipotent space beings that can travel in some cases without ships and time travelers and you know, you name the science fiction element and it's incorporated now. You know, the fact that we don't have nuts and bolts flying saucers being seen very much at all anymore at all is, I don't know, encouraging to some people, because it just means that these beings are so advanced they don't need spaceships, that they can communicate with us directly.
I have the answer.
Yes,
Chris, it's the Q continuum.
It is Q.
That's it. The Q continuum, ladies and gentlemen, the answer's there. That's it. More to come with Chris, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
No, it is not UFOs in the Q continuum. Of course, there has been the theory here that the actual visitation by E.T. occurred a while back, and they've gone. So whatever we see now, it all has to have other explanations.
perfectly sensible, if you ask me. Just look around. Would you have anything to do with this place?
Well, I live here, and I definitely want to leave this place. I mean, if somebody wants to take me to a better planet, you know, sign me up.
Statistically, and I make this point in my discussion, in my talks and lectures, that statistically it's more likely that aliens did visit us than they are visiting us. Because, of course, you've got the whole course of millions of years of human history. No, not human history, but history, to have visitation, whereas we're expecting that, for some reason, aliens are visiting us at this very moment, let's say within the past 50 years or so. And that's very unlikely, given the course of human history. You know, for human history, Stone Age, back to about, I don't know, 4,000, 5,000 BC or something like that. Recorded history probably somewhere around the same time if we're looking at cuneiform records and hieroglyphics. So, okay, let's say 5 or 6,000 years versus 50. Statistically, the 5,000 years has it.
The assumption would be then, and of course Randall favors alien visitation, would be that UFOs are a constant presence, that they stay here, they come here, and I may find this interesting, I don't know. They come here and they stay here. And they're always here. And I wonder about that. There has to be a point where they say, you know what, enough with these stupid humans, let's go somewhere else.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, again, you know, we talk about the earlier cases of trace cases where a UFO would come down and land and leave a mark and zip around, or they'd land and grab somebody like the Betty and Barney Hill and poke at them a bit and then throw them back in and take off. A really advanced civilization wouldn't have to do that. Basically, you just have to be in orbit or base on the moon, monitor our radio and TV broadcasts. You can get everything you need from CNN and Fox if you listen to them together. You wouldn't have to actually come down to Earth. You know, you might want to get a biological sample, you know, a scoop of water, get some paramecium, or Lord knows there's enough floating off in space anyways. So you wouldn't really have to come down at all.
That kind of makes an assumption, though, about what their intent is, because making themselves known could be part of the way that they're studying our reaction to their presence, in which case there is no other way to do that than to make themselves known. And their behavior seems to be exactly that, because they can choose when and where to be seen and control that scenario all that they want. We know that they don't have to, so why are they? They must be choosing to. That's the logical conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's certainly one viable interpretation. Instead of anthropology 101, we're actually psychology 101. They're trying to understand us, or perhaps they're trying to raise our consciousness, and that gets into the whole experiential thing right now. They're here to for some reason to change our course of history, in which case, you know, hurry up, get us out of this pandemic.
Well, yeah, and we should get on to that too, but we've been through a number of things here already. And I think this would be a good time to bring in a question from our question bank on the Paracast community forums from Marduk, who wants to know what you think might be driving the upswing in reports during the lockdown from this pandemic.
Well, yeah, that's really good. In fact, I did a radio interview about the report that was published, I think, in the Post from Peter Davenport's data, that 51% increase in UFO cases in the United States. Of course, in Canada, we had already noticed this and reported on that in July, because, of course, the Canadian UFO Survey data uses Peter Davenport's data and a few others. So look, and I because the Canadian UFO Survey for 2019 was delayed because of pandemic, we actually didn't get it out until I think it was in July. So by that time, I thought, well, let's see what the numbers are like for 2020 just to see. Well, what's curious is that the UFO data for 2019 had continued the trend that had been occurring for 3 or 4 years already in a decline in UFO reports. But starting in 2020, the number of UFO cases had actually shot up. And interestingly enough, not during the pandemic necessarily, but already in January and February, before the cases had really gotten a hold in North America, the number of reported cases had risen tremendously. I was thinking 30 to 50% already. And actually, by the time the lockdowns had even started to lift a little bit in April and May, the numbers had started to go down from the highs. Overall, the first half of 2020 has a huge increase over the same time in 2019. So while there's certainly a pandemic effect because, you know, it's happened during the first half of 2020, something else was going on in the early part of the year that still needs to be addressed. Now, why would there be a pandemic effect? Certainly because people are, during the lockdowns, they weren't going off socializing the way they had been allowed to before. They were by themselves. They were with one or two people looking into the sky because there was no sports on TV. And also they were reporting UFOs. So that certainly is part of it. But there's other things going on, and I don't know exactly what that will be. And it'll be interesting to see how the rest of 2020 pans out in terms of numbers. Is it going to continue to drop off, or perhaps with the second wave and further lockdowns possible with political uncertainty, is that going to drive the numbers up? And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens throughout the course of the year.
Well, certainly public perceptions and culture and all the changes we've undergone, that's a good way to really compare that to the progress of the phenomenon to see what's going on.
I agree. And there was a comment I saw that, I forget who said it now, but looking for UFOs is the new bird watching. Maybe that's true. You know, it's because of the interest in the you know, the 2017-18-19 interest in UFOs is high. We have the Pentagon announcements. We have a number of other media reports on UFOs. The public affairs and media relations machine, PR machine that Tom DeLonge has advertising for UFOs right now and driving the phenomenon in mainstream media. That certainly is contributing to all of this as well. So, yeah, it certainly is one explanation why we're seeing an increase in the number of UFOs. It'll be interesting more to see what the characteristics. If we're seeing almost all nocturnal lights, then maybe that's not as significant as, you know, we might think. If we're seeing, you know, other types of UFOs, more daylight discs, for example, maybe a more close encounters, because there's a, you know, a small number every year. Maybe that'll be interesting to see if we get. No question that's part of the numbers in 2020. We got a huge number of cases of the Starlink satellites. Their launches of those series of satellites that were, causing a lot of UFO cases.
More to come. Part of a lot more with Chris and Gene Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNLive.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
An upset at the Kentucky Derby. Larry Colmus with a call for NBC Sports.
Have the lead as they come down to the 16th ball. Chisnall is still trying to get him.
outside the gates, protesters calling for racial justice. Michael George has more.
Protesters gathered near Churchill Downs as the 146th Kentucky Derby was getting underway. Demonstrators are calling for justice after the police shooting death of Breonna Taylor in her Louisville apartment in March. In Portland, Oregon, police are preparing for the 100th night of consecutive protests.
I understand that they're tired, but at the same time, we're tired of you killing black people.
Police say rocks were thrown at them on Friday night.
This is USA Radio News. Experts are warning that Labor Day could be a super-spreading weekend for COVID-19. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has some tips on how you should stay safe this holiday weekend.
One of the nation's top infectious disease experts, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says he would be comfortable getting a coronavirus vaccine if it's proven to be safe and effective. As far as keeping our guard up during the coronavirus pandemic over the holiday weekend, Surgeon General Jerome Adams tells ABC's Good Morning America we need to mask up and stay vigilant regarding the coronavirus.
Well, I'm very concerned when you look at Memorial Day, July 4th. We hit a peak in this country on July 24th, which was about 2 to 3 weeks after the 4th of July. So we know that during these holidays, people come together for barbecues, for picnics. They travel. And that sets us up for spread of a highly contagious disease like COVID-19.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, funny you should mention the Tesla, Starlink, SpaceX satellite thingies. And the ultimate goal there is, I think, from Elon Musk is to put up, 20, 30,000 satellites to set up a low-orbit, worldwide internet access system. I read an article the other day saying people now, I guess if they can get connected, get 100 megabits, which isn't bad if it was free.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think in Canada we're going to be among the first to be able to apply for access to this, because of course a lot of Canadian North is very remote, and you simply don't get internet and cell access in a lot of those remote communities. So that's very beneficial. I have also understood that you can now also get the Google balloons. I think here in Canada you can also apply to get them as your service provider as well. Also doing the same thing in remote areas. So there's a lot of things up there. In fact, we've had at least two or three cases over the past 6 months that were Google balloons that were flying over, and people had reported those. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are going up now that are, you know, going to be, if they haven't already, given rise to UFO reports.
It's really interesting that you compared it to bird watching, because in my discussions with the skeptics out there, they've often complained how ufology is a pseudoscience. And I would have to correct them and say, look, as far as I know, nobody's actually claimed that ufology is a science unto itself. It really is something that is much more casual. It is a lot more like bird watching. It's not, say, ornithology, but bird watching. Right. So what we need to do, I think, now is maybe help to educate some people on what it is they're looking at, because satellites behave very differently from UFOs. I saw a couple of satellites go over the other night, first time in quite a while, one fairly close after the other. I'm not sure if they were the Starlink satellites, but you can tell what they look like after you've seen enough of them. It's very obvious that this is something way up there and it's in orbit. It's not simply a balloon because of the way that they move so steadily and the way that they brighten and fade. As soon as they start to change direction, on the other hand, you know, if one of them goes, stops, for example, suddenly, or makes a quick turn, or descends very quickly, so that you can see that it is some sort of a craft, you're no longer talking about any kind of a satellite or a balloon.
I agree completely, yeah. If the satellite you're watching makes a right-angle turn, probably not a satellite. I mean, there's ways to explain those. In some cases, you know, having two satellites at 90-degree angles crossing paths and one goes into the Earth's shadow and one comes out at the exact same time. Yes, that can happen. But in, you know, some cases, that's not exactly what's being reserved. And, you know, I had two separate UFO reports from flight instructors at an airport here in Canada just over the past couple of weeks, who had seen several objects go over, as he described, you know, a few flights of things, so three or four objects moving together at the same time that were not Starlink satellites. And, you know, he's very familiar with satellites and what aircraft look like and what, you know, a lot of what's going on in the sky. And this guy says, you know, this is rattling my belief system because these things shouldn't exist. And we're getting these reports continually. And as far as, you know, satellites in the sky, as I say, I'm going through the historical records, and in the late 60s and into the 1970s, it was very common to get people making reports, even you know, fairly good observers at radar stations and so forth, who were reporting, you know, star-like lights moving in the sky that they didn't believe to be high-altitude aircraft, and to them they were not satellites, but they would add, you know, a white object flashing or something like that, moving from horizon to horizon, and then they would add in a little note that they believed the object was at 50,000 feet in altitude. And at the same time, they would say, oh, it was clearly round in shape and clearly a sphere, which you couldn't tell if it was really that far away, but it just underlined the problems with eyewitness testimony, even from people who really were good observers. So in a lot of cases, we have to be very, very careful because our perceptual ability is affected by so many factors. And yet at the same time, there is a residual number of cases from good observers of objects that don't seem to fall nicely into pigeonholed categories of satellite, plane, fireball, bolide, and so forth.
For your unexplained cases, earlier you were talking about, well, some of them are unexplained. When you talk about unexplained cases, are they the same sort as those that Project Blue Book called unexplained, or did you mean that there is insufficient information to explain the sighting for your particular use of the word?
Right. Again, a good question. We've had this question many times about the Canadian UFO survey. You know, when we say that, you know, there's 3% unexplained every year or whatever the percentage is for a particular year, what does that mean exactly? And what we mean is, you know, based on the available data and the available information from the witness and whatever investigation was done, the object seen does not seem to be a star, a plane, a planet, fireball, piece of comet, and so forth. Now, that doesn't mean that it was an alien spaceship. It simply means that it was something else. And Blue Book did something along the same line. If you look at the Project Special Report 14 or whatever, they also broke it down into, you know, astronomical, plane, balloon, and so forth, and then unexplained. And then they also had the insufficient info. And the insufficient info is a case where, you know, the person could remember the date. It was a very vague description. There was no, not sufficient enough of investigation. So those are insufficient. Now, hardcore debunkers would certainly argue that, you know, there's no such thing as an unexplained case because there's certainly many cases that we label as unexplained without adequate investigation, and that's, you know, that's what's going on in ufology right now. There simply isn't enough investigation of cases, despite the fact that there's field investigators in every state. A lot of the information that we get simply doesn't have the associated documentation and investigation to go along with it. And even in those cases where there's a lot of investigation, sometimes there's lacking details. I remember looking at some reports online from some databases where something as basic as the time wasn't recorded. And, you know,
that can make a huge difference.
That can make a really big difference, sure.
Well, back in Blue Book days, they considered a report or the object in a report as unidentified when a report apparently contains all the pertinent data necessary to suggest a valid hypothesis concerning the cause or explanation of the report, but the description of the object or its motion cannot be correlated with any known object or phenomenon. In other words, there was plenty of information there. It's just that the object didn't match anything that we have. So it's not like they needed to investigate more. It's that there simply wasn't an explanation that fits anything that we know. Whereas insufficient data was just like you were saying, there wasn't enough there to develop even an idea of what it might be, whether it was an airplane or a balloon or anything. They just couldn't tell.
That's right. And what's curious is that the Canadian UFO Survey actually does a better job at classifying UFOs than Blue Book. And I say that proudly, because if you look, the Blue Book, had their unexplained cases upwards of 20% or something like that. And
26.9%.
And for the most part, Canadian UFO Survey, I think the highest we've had in a year has been something like 16 or 17%. And right now it's somewhere in the 3 to 5%.
We're going to have 3 to 5% more content on the show. No, I'm kidding. We've got more to come with Gene, Randall, and Chris. And I'm in the minority here because they're Canadians. I'm an American stuck here by the virus, I guess. You're in.
Hey, it's the Paracast, eh?
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Hey, what country are we in? I don't want to get into that. That gets to be really weird. We're starting to get weirded out. I wanted to ask you here, since we mentioned it before. So the Pentagon admits it's studying UFOs. We see all this stuff, the tic-tac UFO sightings and the Navy's interest and all that, and the interest of Congress. It sounds so promising, but it is as if Project Blue Book never existed. That we just started paying attention to UFOs since that study back in the early 2000s, and nothing happened before. Is this collective amnesia? What is it?
Yes. It plain and simple. I was slammed on Facebook in a number of groups for, you know, pointing out that, you know, the announcement from the Pentagon is really nothing to get excited about. And people are saying, no, this is it. This is absolutely the best thing ever. And I would point out, you know, we've had Blue Book. There's been congressional hearings. You know, even fairly recently, there's been congressional hearings and discussions and on the Hill and things like that. So, you know, this isn't all that remarkable. The one thing that people have pointed out, Chris Spitzer, for example, has been after me for about this. That this is a really major thing because the Pentagon, latest Pentagon statement talked about not just collecting data but also detecting UFOs. But even that is not all that new. I had a defense contract, and part of that was working with National Defense on using astronomical instruments like telescopes and other things to observe satellites and ways of tracking satellites more effectively. The word detect was all over the papers and work that I was examining and working on. So, in fact, Alan Hynek himself, and this is something that most people, you know, really didn't know about Hynek. When I did an undergraduate thesis in astronomy on transient lunar phenomena, these are lights and weird things that are observed on the moon, I was doing the literature search, and I noticed there was a small observatory called Corralitos, which had a transient lunar phenomena observing program. And their mission was to observe the moon and, you know, try and see what was up there. And lo and behold, who is the director of the Corralitos Observatory Transient Lunar Phenomena Program but J. Allen Hynek? And it was an interesting way to sneak ufology into mainstream astronomy, and good for him. But along the way, part of that was looking at tracking objects and using ground-based instruments to look at things in space, including on the moon. And part of that were these detection systems for observing the sky using very advanced manual analog telescopes, and it was very interesting to see how they did it back in the 60s. But they were detecting and tracking objects moving in the sky, and when an object was detected that didn't appear in the regular database, because they knew which satellites were up, and back then there weren't as many as there are now, it was actually ignored by the then computers and by the observers, and just sort of chalked up to one of those things. But they were detecting objects in the sky way, way back using very sophisticated instrumentation. So the detection, you know, is not new at all, but it's interesting that there's a revival. And, you know, there's groups that are going around, not just North America, but the world. What is it, Star Lab? What's it called now? That a lot of people have signed on. I know the NICAP nodes are part of this as well, where they're using sophisticated instruments. And I know there's instrumentation packages that you can buy into to have setups in your backyard and then feed that into a database. And the idea is to use these sophisticated instruments to scan the sky and see if there's any UFOs up there. And, of course, even that's not new, because there's a lot of all-sky cameras being used by astronomers, amateur astronomers and professional astronomers alike, for observing fireballs. And that's how we get some beautiful video imagery of the night sky, of these beautiful fireballs. So even that is not new. But to apply it specifically for ufology, I'll concede that's new, but we've been getting those types of things for quite some time.
Well, I mean, it's only getting better now. The average person now is better educated and has more access to technology than ever before. So if we can get some citizen ufologists out there, that would be great.
I would have to agree. You know, the more people looking up into the sky and even using instrumentation a little more effectively, that's great. The only drawback I would see is that in order to really cover the night sky, let's even just say over the contiguous United States, you need a whole whack of these things. You know, it's not enough to have people in Peoria, you know, over a neighborhood having these things. If it's one county over and there's a UFO seen there, your instrumentation might not pick it up. So you actually have to have many, many, many of these nodes in order to make it really effective. And I think probably the way to do it is to partner with the amateur astronomers and their all-sky cameras, which are already covering the sky effectively as well, and with other instrumentation. So,
well, I mean, if you can.
If you can, yeah.
I tried to network with a couple of them down in the States a couple of times on their forums, and as soon as I mentioned the word UFO, I was banned. That's how successful that went.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There still is that stigma. I mean, I actually gave a talk on UFOs at an astronomical convention, and I had a lot of people give me sideways glances, but I was eventually allowed to speak at another one because I wasn't talking in terms of little green guys
contact the experience. You weren't evangelizing.
I was not evangelizing.
Yeah.
And over the course, I've spoken to many astronomers. I mean, the Sturrock report, most people don't recall, but Peter Sturrock did a study of astronomers, finding how many astronomers have actually seen UFOs. The Gert Herb report, a study of amateur astronomers and the number of amateur astronomers around the world who have seen UFOs. These studies are largely forgotten, but they really contributed a lot to our understanding of the demographics of people who see UFOs. And I have a close friend. I'm going to be going down to his ranch in in Texas in 2024, if we're allowed to travel across borders by then.
That's going to be the fat chance department, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, for the next eclipse, because the next eclipse in 2024 goes directly through the heartland of the United States, and it's going to be spectacular. But
ET is going to be waiting on the border.
Yes, he'll throw me over or something like that. He's an astronomer, and I had this discussion with him about astronomers seeing UFOs. And he is a damn good astrophotographer. A lot of the some of the images that you see in magazines come from him. And he says, you know, he is very careful about talking about UFOs to people at astronomy star parties. But he makes the point of, amateur astronomers and, you know, most professional astronomers don't look at the sky directly themselves. He sets his scope up, uses his computer-driven scope to point it at a messy object, let's say Andromeda or whatever, and sets the tracking on it, and goes in the warm-up room to have a few beers and maybe even a nap for 2 or 3 hours, and then comes out and then adjusts the telescope again. That's not doing observational astronomy, and there could have been a UFO flying. And he actually said there could have been a UFO hovering over their warm-up room for a couple of hours, and they would never have noticed it. So, and I've made this point before, too, about astronomers, and astronomers are always looked at as, you know, the people who should know about UFOs. They're the last people, in some cases, who would know about UFOs, because if you're talking to UFO witnesses, the objects are seen at close range, hovering right over houses and power lines and so forth. Well, telescopes don't look at your next-door neighbor unless you're a Peeping Tom, I suppose. But they look far off into space. They're not really concerned about what's happening just, you know, within a few hundred feet of the Earth's surface. So, in that sense, astronomers would not necessarily be the best people to talk about observations of things close by.
Thing to mention, too, Chris, is that there's a modern image of astronomers, or just traditional. These guys are sitting there in an observatory, and they're constantly looking through that eyepiece at things that are going on around them. As you say, the perspective is all wrong. They're looking at things way out there, and UFOs are happening here. And of course, that's a big thing about UFOs with their spaceships. How come we don't see them in space? We see them here. Chris Rutkowski, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product
Within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.